Hey guys, it's Xander. Before the episode starts, I just wanted to jump in real quick and say that Ethereal Path has launched a new scheduling system. So if you are thinking about booking your tarot card reading, or if you're thinking about taking that first step into your magical learning journey, then now is the time to jump on it and get involved. So again, if you have any questions or would like any of our services, please contact me at etherealpathpgh@gmail.com. That's etherealpathpgh@gmail.com. That's also our handle over on X, where our DMs are open, or you can hit us up on Instagram or Facebook, where we are Ethereal Path, and that is all one word. Blessed be. Enjoy the show. What's up, guys? You found the Ethereal Path podcast. I'm your host, Xander, and it's time to get witchy. Let's do this. Yo, 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 what's up, everybody? It is Xander. This is the Ethereal Path podcast, and welcome to my crazy little corner of the internet. I swear to God, one of these days I am going to do a live broadcast on Instagram. We did one before and it like technologically was a nightmare. So I've been thinking about doing another one, or now that I'm like, totally addicted to the Wisdom app, I may do a live broadcast on there one day, who knows. But I swear the first, 15 to minutes to a half an hour is just literally watching me try to get set up and yell at my Chromebook that, should be fast as fuck, but is slow as shit. So if anyone is looking to sponsor me, hashtag Google, would love to get a new Chromebook, or hashtag Microsoft Surface. Just saying, because I had a Surface 2 and I absolutely loved it, and my broke ass can't afford anything else right now. So yeah, daddy needs an upgrade. All right, so we are jumping back into our this disgustingly long just dissertation on the tarot. Okay, so as I was saying, we were going to continue our discussion on the tarot. And basically, last time we left off at symbolism, because we had just finished up the numerology portion. Okay, so anyway, back to the numerology. So the reason that we were going through the numerology is because now I'm gonna, and again, I'm gonna be jumping back and forth through these ideas and concepts. So if you have not listened to the first episode in the series, I suggest you definitely go back, listen to episode 7, and make sure that you have got the foundational part, because these episodes from here on out are just gonna build and build and build. So really, if you haven't listened, you're kind of just joining, I suggest stopping and going back and listening to it from the beginning, because especially all the episodes that are marked season 2, this gets a little more high level and a lot more cross concept. So moving on to so we're going back to swords, and we were using swords as our example in our tarot card deck. And the reason that we were doing this is that we were comparing the numerology to the numbers of the tarot card. So in a very basic level and format, if you go and look at like the little instruction manual that comes with the tarot cards, or any of the supplemental books that are sold with tarot card decks, or just hell, even a Google search, you're gonna see a couple themes. And I try to break this down to as simple as possible. Okay, so just relating to the swords, the Ace of Swords represents clarity and new ideas, Two of Swords, decisions and choices, Three of Swords, heartache and sorrow, Four of Swords, rest and recuperation, Five of Swords, conflict and power struggles, Six of Swords is transition and moving on, Seven of Swords, deception and strategy, Eight of Swords, feeling trapped and restricted, Nine of Swords, anxieties and worries, Ten of Swords, and endings and transformations. And if you go back and listen to the last episode, and you go and you listen to the points of what the numbers stand for in numerology, you can easily see where these ideas and concepts and everything, cross over and where they really relate to each other. But yeah, also have to take into account the symbolism of the cards. And this is where it's going to get real deep. And this is why I quickly realized as we were going through the last episode that it was going to be, a bunch of episodes thrown together in order to get this whole one big, massive, tarot card concept out, because it is definitely not as simple as like, hey, let's just grab this book and, quick and easily read tarot cards. Like it definitely is not that simple. So in this episode, we are going to keep going, but we're going to go down with the symbolism. So now it's going to turn, we're going to switch gears and we're going to go back into the four major elements. So grab a frosty beverage, a frosty beverage. Oh my God, I cannot talk tonight. Grab a frosty beverage, maybe grab some herbal refreshment of your choice, whatever you may prefer. Get comfy because we're going to dig in deep, and this is to the tarot and the elements. Hey, I'm Xander, and I'm a tarot card reader with over 30 years of experience. I've helped many people gain insights into their lives and make better choices through tarot card readings. Tarot cards are a powerful tool that can be used to connect your intuition and tap into your subconscious mind. The cards can provide guidance, support, and a clarity on a variety of topics, including relationships, career, finances, and personal growth. I offer private tarot card readings in person or online. My readings are tailored to your specific needs and goals, and I'll work with you to create a safe and supportive space where you can explore your questions and concerns. I'm passionate about helping people, and I believe the tarot cards can be a valuable tool for the self-discovery and growth. So if you're looking for clarity or guidance on a specific issue, I would be happy to help. To learn more about my services, please contact us at ethereal-path.com or at etherealpathpgh@gmail.com or by clicking on any of the links in the show notes below. All right, so let's jump back in and let's keep using the swords, just because that is where we have been kind of kicking off. And again, so we're gonna go. Swords are representative of air signs. They represent the mind, the thoughts, intellect, and challenges. When we look at the swords in tarot decks, and again, I'm gonna put my big disclaimer here, that every tarot deck is gonna be different. Now you've got to figure, me personally, I have multiple tarot decks. I have a Rider-Waite tarot deck. I have a Dragon tarot deck. I have the Green Witch tarot deck. I have the Gay tarot. I have the Gilded Royale tarot. So I have a ton of tarot decks. Now, when we talk about these symbolism, when we talk about the symbolism, there are going to be certain things that are going to be deck specific, and there are certain things that are going to be not deck specific. So pay attention to some of these things, but also if something that I mentioned doesn't show up in your deck, it could be because it's just not featured in that particular deck. But these, again, these are very general. This is a very generalized discussion when it comes to the specific symbols, but when it comes to the overall meanings, it's pretty much all the same. So that being said, like I said, air is going to be representative of very, intellectual symbolic challenges, things of the mind, of the thought, of really anything that is not tangible. Because, again, with this being the polar opposite of Earth, we're talking, Earth things are tangible, material goods, money, coin, possessions, things like that. So these are, we're talking about like intangible ideas, emotions, and mental experiences, conflict, adversity, clarity, transformation, things like that. All of these are going to be representative of the tarot. When especially when it comes to the swords, because of their relationship with the air signs. Now, when it comes to the symbols themselves, the first one and the most obvious in the suit of swords, obviously, is the swords themselves. They are a significant symbol because they're not just physical weapons, but they represent the mental and intellectual realm as well, because they symbolize thought, analysis, power. So again, the power of words. This is why, many Wiccans are air signs, myself included. Air signs are very drawn to Wiccan concepts and principles, and even if they don't label themselves as Wiccan, they still think very razor sharp, and they have usually a sharp-edged wit, a sharp-edged tongue, a sharp-edged intellect. We always talk about them being razor sharp in some way, shape, or form. It could be physical, it could be mental, it could be intellectual, it could be their personality, it could be their cunning nature, it could be whatever it is, but they're also very good at cutting. And that's what you also have to remember, representative of swords and air signs is freedom, letting go, getting rid of negativity, cutting cords that are bad for you, things like that. Another thing that is big with swords is piercings. And, this is going to be a very visceral reaction to, the Three of Swords specifically, which is the card of the swords, piercing the heart. But now, depending on the deck that you use, there are actually decks out there where the three and the four are related to each other. And the dragon deck is one of them. And even though the swords are there in the same format and formation as the three, the heart is not there, because it's symbolic of, taking control of those emotions. But again, swords piercing hearts is a very visceral reaction, and it is symbolic of emotional pain and heartache. Half the battle of reading tarot cards is taking the symbols that are right there in front of you and weaving together the narrative, And again, the symbols are going to change. The things you see in every reading are going to change. The things that are going to pop out at you every time are going to change. But every time you see this card, no matter what deck that you're using, the heart is huge. There are three massive swords, piercing this heart. You cannot miss this symbolism. And there are other cards where, I can think of the Chariot, where there's the crab, sitting in the stonework, like at the very base of the card. If you're not looking close enough, you would miss something like that. But if once you see it, and that's kind of the thing about tarot is you're going to see different things every time that you read. So, again, the size and the noticeability of something is to be taken into account too. And that's just, again, it's another skill that you're just going to build, and it's another skill that, the more you practice it, the more you're going to go. Moving on with symbolism, you're going to see clouds, wind, obviously, because this is the air sign. This is representing the ever-changing and turbulent thoughts of our nature, of our ideas. Clouds can obscure things; they can make it difficult to see the truth. Winds can blow those clouds away, So it's a balance of seen and unseen, hidden and revealed. So you kind of gotta pay attention to that duality, and again, it relates back to that, as above, so below hermetic principle. Castles are always in the distance, usually because they represent isolation, protection, mental fortitude, physical fortitude. But this can be both a good thing and a bad thing, because sometimes it is a reminder to say, hey, you need to stop and really, go inside and think and reflect on this. But other times it can be a warning in the other direction, where it can be, you have overthought this and it is time to free yourself and run. And I can think of, just in the Dragon Tarot deck that I mainly use, and that's, my number one go-to deck and has been for, 20 years now, that there are cards that are definitively coming into a castle, and there are cards that are definitively going away from a castle. So again, completely changes the narratives. Butterflies are big in the swords suit because they reflect, change in the mental realm, personal growth, shifts in perspective, things like that. Blindfolds actually come up a lot as well. We see this specifically in the Eight of Swords, but we also see it in a few other cards as well. And it can be ignorance, it can be a denial, it can be a refusal to acknowledge the truth. It could also be, time to take off those blinders, face reality head on, or, just gaining clarity to see things for what they really are. And I go back to the Eight of Swords because this is the card of, the woman who is, trapped, and she has the blindfold on, and she's trapped in the circle of swords. But if she were to just take off the blindfold, she would realize she's not as trapped as she thinks she is. All she has to do is walk out of the circle. But she thinks in her mind the circle is so tight that she can't fit through it, So again, what we have in our mind is not always what is the reality that is sitting right in front of us. Broken swords, we can see that as damaged, as shattered. We can see it as a loss. We can also see it as defeat, but you can also see it as a sign to rebuild, reforging the sword. Think, go straight back to the Lord of the Rings, think Aragorn. Reforging a sword makes it stronger. So, it's literally, that which doesn't kill us makes us stronger. That's where this concept comes from. You see figures in battle, because again, we're talking about mental conflict, struggles, emotional needs, defending one's beliefs, things like that. You see mountains because they can represent obstacles, challenges that must be overcome, but they can also represent determination and fortitude. Think about this. You are on a hike and you see mountains in the distance and you think, oh my God, that is such a long way to go. Or, you're scaling Mount Everest and you get to the top and you have conquered the world, literally, So it just depends on where you're standing and what your perspective is. We see a lot of wings, which symbolize power, flight, the ability to rise above, and overcome mental challenges. We see crowns, it's victory, achievements. There are chains and shackles, which represent, bondage, restrictions, the need to break free, scales, and symbolizing justice and balance. Mirrors symbolizing self-reflection, introspection, the need to like kind of look inward on oneself. Books and scrolls, which can symbolize, knowledge, learning. You even see dueling and fighting again, because it could be internal conflict, it could be external conflict, it could be a battle of words, it could be a battle of thoughts, it could be, good debate, it could be unhealthy, harassment, it could be a whole bunch of different things. So again, there's a few symbols that are going to come up over and over and over again, especially in all of these suits as we go through them. And it's one of those things where, you want to, recognize these symbols because in order to become a better tarot card reader and become a better practitioner, because I know some people who have tarot cards that don't even use them to read. They actually just use them for meditation purposes. And basically what they did was they found a tarot card deck that resonated with them. Like I have a friend I can think of who bought the steampunk tarot, which let me just tell you, the artwork on that is cool as shit. And that's probably going to be one of my next buys whenever we're ready to get some cash, not gonna lie. But she's real big into meditation, and she wanted these visceral images for whatever she wanted to work on. She basically found the card that represented that and then, meditated on the image that was in the card. And again, because it was steampunk, some of it was real visceral and some of it had a very good, gut reaction to it. So, you don't have to read tarot cards to use tarot cards. There are many, many different things that you can do with them. Now when it comes to certain cards are going to stand out across the deck. So, and I'm going to give you a couple examples. So, Ace of Swords, Is always going to usually involve a crown of some sort or like a laurel wreath, something that indicates victory, clarity, triumph, winning, a mental breakthrough, success for problem solving. Just basically, there's going to be a symbol of a win, okay? And even though aces symbolize new beginnings, which is another thing that we're going to, just kind of stick a pin in right now, that crown. Or again, like I said, that laurel wreath, there's going to be some representation of like winning or majesty or royalty, something in that card. We've already talked about the Three of Swords. The heart is going to be pierced. It's going to be very, very prominent on the card, no matter what deck you're being dealt. The Six of Swords, is always going to have a boat in it, because it's talking about journey and transition, usually a mental transition, getting out of an emotional situation, getting out of rough seas. The Six of Swords is actually a very good card, because I mean, it usually means like shit's about to chill out. Like, it actually means like the drama's about to like settle the fuck down. So the Six of Swords is an ace card to have, trust me. The Eight of Swords, again, we kind of talked about this a little bit. It's always going to be like a blindfolded figure. There's going to be a feeling of being trapped. But again, it's also going to be, if you step back and look at the card, it's going to be, a very easy to notice once you look at the bigger picture and you can see the forest for the trees, that it's not as bad as it looks. So again, while these decks are going to have some universal symbolism, there are going to be some cards that are going to be, very similar, and for this reason. So there's going to be a lot of crossing over. There's going to be a lot of continuity. There's going to be a lot of differences, and that's kind of half the fun when it comes to this. So I am going to take a quick break. I'm gonna give me a little sippy sip, and then we are gonna jump into the suit of pentacles, because since we're just finished air signs and we were talking about everything up in the mental realm, let's jump down into the physical. All right, welcome back, all you cool cats and kittens. Fucking Carol Baskin. Oh God, I miss her ass. What the fuck ever happened to her? Anyway, so let's jump into Pentacles. Okay, so Pentacles, representative of the element of Earth. We're talking now the material and practical aspects of life. So we're talking finances, work, possessions, physical well-being, literally tangible material aspects. So again, coins and pentacles. Sometimes you're gonna see coins, sometimes you're gonna see pentacles. So both of these are gonna be interchangeable. So if I flip back and forth, know that I'm talking about the same thing. I actually even have a deck where they are called coins, but the coins are pentacle shaped. It is one of the biggest mind fucks in the world. God damn, I love this. Is like some Robert Langdon bullshit. But anyway, so literally representing, wealth, and finances, because we're literally talking about money here. Gardens and fields are going to be very often depicted, because we're talking about abundance, growth, and we're talking about the rewards of hard work here. So again, a lot of the times when I talk about things in Wicca, I say, we have to go back to the, 1800s, where, we're living out in the fucking prairies and the colonies and shit. But, we got it to go. This is what it symbolizes, so you're gonna see gardens and fields, because that does symbolize, hard work. It does symbolize, planning and abundance and the harvest, which we celebrate in Wicca. And, it's a very big symbol, but it's also, we know the reward of hard work. We know how good a job well done feels. So again, that's why you're going to see that depicted so often. Trees are another big one, because first of all, you have the tree of life, which represents everything, again, as above, so below, and the roots that go down into the material world, but also representing stability, grounding, and the connection between the material world and the spiritual realm, like I said, with the tree of life. Harvest, because of the reaping grain, the idea of reaping the rewards, enjoying the fruits of one's labor. Animals are actually a very big a big symbol to pop up in the Coins and Pentacles suit because you see they're part of the physical world. They're you see dogs for their loyalty, you see birds for their flight, rabbits for their peace and tenderness, or softness or abundance, or even as symbols of fertility, and just the natural world and the circle of life and everything like that. Usually tools are very, a big symbol because, again, you were talking about hard work. It's usually gardening implements or, other practical items. Like, I can think of one deck that I have where someone is literally chiseling out, a coin, and it's part of the deck. It's part of the symbolism of that card. Speaking of coins, make sure you're actually taking the time to look at the coins, because like I said, in the deck, the one deck that I have, every single coin in the whole deck, they were just designed in the shape of pentagrams with jewels. But sometimes the artist will put specific designs into specific coins on specific decks to give a little bit of like an extra insight or meaning. So pay attention because there could be a few little Where's Waldo pop-ups in there that you may have never noticed before. You're gonna see beautiful gardens, rich landscapes, a lot of greenery, because again, nature, fertility, beautiful fields, lushness, abundance. Again, we're talking about, the theme of prosperity, earthly abundance, connections with nature, things like that. We're gonna see houses because they're a physical symbol of security and stability. It is our solid foundation of our home. This is where our life is. This is the center of our life. Home is where the heart is. Home is where we hang our hat. And even though that in itself is a mental concept, it is also a physical concept of, my house is my home. It's where me and my husband and my dogs live. It's a physical representation of the life that we have built together. Sometimes you'll see the changing of seasons because, again, we're talking about transformation, the ebb and flow of, the natural world. Clothing and attire becomes very big because it can indicate social status, and financial well-being. You'll see pathways, you'll see roads because, again, there will be choices and decisions about, materials and journeys and, the way things have, the way you have to take things. So there are a lot of symbols when it comes to the earth signs in Pentacles. So again, when you think Pentacles, you want to think of, the material world. You want to think of, stability, security, dependability, wealth and abundance, connection to nature, making things manifest, practicality, health and well-being, challenges, obstacles, long-term planning, things like that. Like basically guiding us on, financial or career aspects or really anything material that we have kind of going on in our life. And if you have a card and if you have a reading done, you'll quickly see that, if there's an area of your life, like, that I've talked to a while over in this podcast, the past few times about how, different jobs that I've had and this, that, and the other. And in those times, pentacles have always been very abundant in my tarot card readings. Or when, there have been, money situations or anything like that, pentacles are always showing up. So again, these are gonna change like, everything else. And it just depends on what your circumstances are and kind of what's going on around you. All right, so that covers pentacles. Let's take a quick break. We'll knock out air, or I'm sorry, we'll knock out water, we'll knock out fire, and then I will tell you where this crazy journey is gonna go, because we are so far from done. Are you ready to unlock the secrets of your life's journey? Do you seek clarity, guidance, and a deeper understanding? Welcome to the Ethereal Path, where we guide you and invite you to embark on a transformative journey. Having read tarot cards for over 30 years, Xander is here to help you gain profound insights into your life and help you make better decisions and connect with your intuition. Through the magic of tarot, you can tap into your subconscious mind, unlocking the wisdom that lies within you. Join our satisfied clients who have found guidance, support, and clarity in their lives through our tarot card readings. Explore your questions and concerns with us. Whether it's matters of the heart, career choices, or personal growth, tarot offers a guiding light on your path. Visit our website at www.ethereal-path.com or email us at etherealpathpgh.com to learn more. Gain the insights you need to make those confident decisions and uncover the mysteries of your own personal journey. All right, hope you're all fired up for to get back into this one. Wiccan dad jokes, they will never get old. Oh, let's talk about fire and wands. First thing to clear up here, wands, I have also seen them as athames in the tarot deck, which, let me tell you, now I'm just going to go off on a little tangent here. While I fully understand the difference between a sword and an athame, I'm not a complete fucking idiot. The fact that you would put athames and swords in the same fucking tarot deck is goddamn ridiculous, and I wanted to throat punch you. Just put that out there. Because basically it's like little knife, big knife. Try to remember that one. That was one of the worst tarot card fucking readings I ever had in my entire life. I wanted to kill myself by the time that was done. So moving on. Wands, athames, you know, so that's what you would see with tarot cards. I'm trying to think because I've seen other shit too. One of the things that can actually really, really help out to remember that this is associated with the fire element is that a lot of the times the wands will be like torches. So they'll literally be lit on fucking fire. So therefore, you can kind of easily remember this one. So we're going to be talking a lot about, you know, passion, creativity, action, initiative, spiritual growth, leadership, confidence, challenges, obstacles, adventure, exploration, energy, enthusiasm, creativity, innovation, sparks of inspiration, all those things that fire represents, you know, all the good burny stuff. Again, let's start with the symbol itself. Wands, athames, rods. I've even seen those rods. I knew there was a third name. It was driving me crazy. Basically, they represent the power of inspiration, spirituality, the creative force, often depicted as staffs or branches. So again, can also be weapons. So it depends on how they're depicted. But, you know, you can also take that into consideration, too, depending on what deck you're reading from. Because it could be that, you know, this is a... a battle scene that, you know, you're kind of taking part of. Again, the biggest prominent symbol that you're going to see too, again, is fire, representing passion, enthusiasm, spark of creative energy, initiation of action, transformative idea of, transformative power of ideas. Leaves and blossoms are a big symbol. They symbolize growth, vitality, flourishing, creative potential, indicate a period of expansion and development because it's usually growth, it's blossoming. Think of, you know, when, plants blossom in the sunlight, you know, it's the warmth, it's the heat from, you know, the sun, you know, which fire also gives off. Crowns are also very big because of victory and achievement. We talked about that with the Ace of Swords. Mountains, again, same thing. We talked about that when we were talking about the, you know, the air signs. Lizards and salamanders actually show up quite a lot because they represent the idea of regeneration, transformation, and it's lit through the fires of like inspiration and creativity. And the reason the lizards and salamanders show up is because, you know, of they're shedding their skin, they're constantly, you know, regenerating themselves. It depends on what they're really depicted of. You know, like some lizards, you can grab their tail, they can drop their tail as a defensive mechanism and they can just grow a new one. You have chameleons, which fit into this class of, you know, they can kind of blend in and, you know, they can transform themselves. So again, you know, it's very literal sometimes. You have the sun, again, symbol of illumination, clarity, and success, you know, positive outcomes of creative endeavors, realizations of one's vision. But again, that's also, you know, not just, you know, the fire aspect, but it's also the light, it's the heat, and the sun itself is a card in the deck too. too, you know, so don't forget that. And, you know, that's a very literal definition of what the sun card is representative of. We see a lot of animals like lions and cats because they are often, you know, associated with courage and strength. You know, think of the cowardly lion. Like, this is literally where we got that from, in The Wizard of Oz. A lot of times you'll actually see fire signs in the deserts, because these are physical challenges. There are things that, you know, while, you know, so when you think about, you know, hiking across the desert, you know, it's, you've got a long, hard road ahead of you. So this is one of those, you know, don't think that, you know, this challenge that you're gonna be up against, you're just gonna kind of like want to step over it. You know, it's, you know, you're gonna face some trials and tribulations, but, you know, when you get there, the payoff is gonna be huge. You know, when another big symbol that we see serpents or snakes, again, transformation. You know, you think of snakes shedding their old skin to renew themselves, you know, and grow, you know, renewal of energy and ideas. Dragons are actually big, and I know I have a dragon deck, but they do actually show up in other decks as well. But they, you know, really symbolize a creative force. They symbolize a need to confront and conquer challenges. You know, and they also, depending on how the dragon is drawn, you know, can also be seen as very serpentine or snake-like. So it really depends on the symbolism of the dragon as well. Castles and fortresses, we've talked about that symbolism in the air sign a little bit. So there's a lot of crossover between fire and air. And if you think about it, it kind of makes sense because air fuels fire. You know, without fire, you could not, or without air, you could not have fire. Literally, everyone who's seen the movie Backdraft, that's literally, you know, basically, that's the whole point of it. You know, if there's no oxygen, the fire goes out. But then the minute there is oxygen, the fire comes roaring right the fuck back to life. So again, you know, it's no secret that these two ideas are so closely related, and that the opposites, literally, you know, not parallel each other, but you know, literally, you know, balance each other out, because that's exactly what they do. You know, so perfect segue into talking about water, because water is, you know, the symbolic of the profound insight into the human experience, going into the, you know, your emotional depths. We're talking about, you know, now, an element that is known for its depth, its fluidity, its serene calmness. But at the same time, it's turbulence when you think of, like, you know, raging white water. You know, so water is very, it can be anything, you know, and this is one of the most, you know, this is one of the most difficult suits to read, because, you know, it can really depend on, are the seas calm, or all, or are there white horses all over the place? You know, we're talking about intuition and sensitivity. You know, we're talking about subtle energies, you know, things that are kind of like right beneath the surface. You know, think of, you know, this is why earth and water, are kind of how air and fire balance each other, earth and water balance each other. You know, whereas, think about it this way, you know, if you don't have moist earth and soil, nothing will grow. But if you overflood that soil, or you deprive that soil of moisture, nothing can grow in that soil. So it's a very delicate balance that you have to have. So whereas, you know, when we were just talking about fire, you know, it was very energetic, and, you know, and if you even notice, you know, my voice was, you know, a lot more passionate, and I was talking faster, and I was more energetic, and I was motivated, you know, and I kind of did that on purpose, because, you know, as I started, you know, talking about water, I was purposely like slowing my voice down and calming it down, because that's exactly what water is representative of. It's that, you know, intuition. It's the connection with our inner selves. It's the emotional undercurrents that influence our decisions and our actions. So, you know, there's a lot of reflection. There's a lot of mirroring. You know, it's looking into the pensive. It's looking into the, you know, w the puddle, and, you know, seeing what's looking back at you. So very, very strongly connected to matters of love, matters of the heart, relationships, you know, affection, connections, the bonds we share with others, healing, transformations. And at the same time, you know, water has the power to cleanse, purify, rejuvenate. You know, we talk about adaptability, change, being able to be fluid, challenges and turmoil, again, the calm before the storm, things like that, so this is all of what water is representative of, and this is what the suit of cups represents. Cups usually representative of cups or chalices, and that is a vessel. It's symbolic that we hold our emotions and we express our emotions, but we're able to have some sort of vessel to challenge and fill that that emotional space, whether it be with happy, warm, loving emotions, or it's cold, sad, depressing feelings, but the feelings are there, the emotions there, and they're fluid, they're able to change, again, so there's that flow of emotions, getting into your subconscious mind, the ever-changing feelings of nature, and the ever-changing nature of feelings, can go both ways. We'll see fish a lot, obviously, because fish are, they can only live in the water. So they often represent like mysteries and hidden aspects of our world, because think about this, 75% of the earth, I think is what the percentage that we go with now is, 75% of the earth is covered in water, but yet we have explored what, less than like 5% of the ocean or some shit like that. There are things living in our oceans right now that we have never even seen, and there's a whole crazy deep concept in that of, on one hand, I have a great story of how the giant squid like scares the fuck out of me, and every time I'm on a cruise, I always have that, moment where I'm standing on deck and I just see this massive like tentacle come over and like pull us under, like, and my horror movie addled mind just goes absolutely fucking crazy. But in the same token, it's amazing to think of, go same giant squid that, in reality, here is a creature that is like 60 feet in length. Okay, 60 feet, that's fucking long, and we've just barely gotten glimpses in passing of it on camera. Like, that is how expansive the oceans are. Like, we should be able to capture on film a 60-foot creature with no fucking problem. And these things are so massive and so elusive and so accustomed to living in this darkness. And this water is so dark and the pressure is so heavy, and we have explored so little of it that creatures this massive can live on this earth and we don't even know they're fucking there. When you take the minute to think about stuff like that, it's almost beyond like mind-boggling. A lot of the times, another symbol you'll see is lotus flowers, because lotus flowers symbolize purity, enlightenment, spiritual awakening, suggests the potential for emotional growth and transformation. When we were talking in the chakra episode, and I was talking about how, we open our chakras up, I always see my chakras as lotus flowers blooming. Crescent moons are a big symbol because they're a symbol of intuition, the unconscious mind, the ebb and flow of emotions, the cyclical nature of our feelings. Doves are actually pretty big because they represent peace and harmony and love, usually, reconciliations of relationships. Again, bodies of water, boats, because, they travel on the water, reflections we talked about, cups overflowing and spilling, because, again, go back to what I said in the very beginning of, you've got to have that right balance or, it's going to throw everything off. And fountains, fountains, because they can control the flow of emotions and creativity and they need to express oneself. So, if you think about a fountain, it's, yes, it's water, just kind of left to its own devices, but it's also controlled in its flow at the same time. So fountains can be very representative of, creativity, new ideas, or, channeling one's energy in the right direction. So there are your four elements, and that is how they all link into the tarot and into the minor arcana suits. So let me tell you, if you are feeling some kind of feels after that, I am not surprised, because holy shit, dog, that was a lot. And we still have so much more to go. That being said, we are going to leave it there for tonight. Again, I'm sorry I missed last week. Life just kind of got in the way. But I'm going to leave it here, and I'm going to leave it on the ethereal path cliffhanger. Dun, dun, dun. Oh, wait, I've got it. I've got to have the sound effect in here somewhere. Hold on. Let me go see what I can find. Okay, so that was the closest thing I could find to the sound effect that I wanted, and good God, that went on forever. That's why I had to put it on here, because I was like, holy shit, this is like never ending. But I'm actually going to leave you on a cliffhanger here, because when we pick up the next episode, we are going to be talking about a very controversial topic in the world of tarot, which, if you can believe that there is tarot in controversy, hold on and clutch your pearls, Greta, because I am going to take you down a fucking rabbit hole. But in the meantime, everybody, have a great week. Blessed be. Once again, thank you for all of the likes and listens and support and everything out there. Please, 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 if you can, just make sure you follow us on all of our social media pages. Like, subscribe, listen to this podcast. Again, we're available on all major platforms. Tell your friends about it. Get the word out. Please rate and review if you can, because all those little things help. There are tons of ways to monetize podcasts out there. And to any of my supporters out there who have been generous, a deep, deep thank you. Just the fact that you are listening is enough. But if you can spare a buck or two, please, I am so happy if you throw it my way. It just helps me bring, better quality content to you guys. But again, for everyone, just the fact that you are hearing my voice, and it is so humble to see those numbers growing, despite the fact that I know I don't head it up every weekend, but you guys just, you guys are out there and you're listening, and you guys are what keeps me going. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart, have a good week. Blessed be. And I cannot wait to see you guys next week and get into some even deeper, deeper tarot card reading aspects. All right. I'm Xander. I'm out. Peace out. Blessed be, guys. The Ethereal Path podcast is hosted by me, Xander, and is owned by Ethereal Path LLC. The show is recorded, produced, and hosted on Spotify for podcasters. You can find us on the web at www.ethereal-path.com. Don't forget the dash. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and Wisdom as Ethereal Path, and on X as at Ethereal Path PGH. This is also our email address, etherealpathpgh@gmail.com. DMs are open on all of our platforms. The Ethereal Path podcast can be found on all major podcasting platforms such as Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Audible, Radio Public, Podcasts, and all other major podcasting platforms. Links can be found in our show notes. As always, please be sure to like, subscribe, and turn on your notifications. Every one of those clicks makes a huge difference. Thank you for listening, and blessed be.